Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome back to the Vocal Report Extra Podcast. This week, it is Charlton. We seem to be playing teams quite frequently, don't we? I've only just kind of, I was going to say recovered from Blackpool, but it's not really a recovery. I didn't think I'd drink that much, but it was a good day out. And then, I think since we last spoke, we also drew with Shrewsbury. But things are looking good. Things are going quite nice this season, aren't they, as I was just saying? And I've got Nathan back from Charlton Live, who is with us right at the beginning of the season. So we've got a bit of catching up to do. But Nathan, how are you? Are you well?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Probably just like you, just getting used to the topsy-turvy of League One. But like you say, it's been a while. I mean, I can still remember going up to obviously Stadium Alight and obviously coming away from that quite pleased, really, considering we lost. But yeah, it's obviously all change. And obviously you guys are up there, which, you know, was an inevitable. And there was nothing for you lot to worry about, was there? I told you it'd be fine, apart from Walsall. That was the only one, wasn't it? But yeah, I think you guys are doing fine as expected.
And I was listening back to, like, because the first extra podcast, if anyone's new to this, was with you, Nathan, this season. Not the first official, but first one this season. But one thing I was listening back to was how kind of unsure you were about how your season was going to go. And I mean, people forget how kind of big that game was with Gooch scoring in the last minute and what that did to the club as a whole. But Charlton, in my opinion, probably the best side we've had at the stadium this season. And you've done quite well. It's not a surprise for me that you're up there. So how's the season been?
Yeah, I mean, obviously going back to obviously the first game, we didn't hardly have any players. And I think we only had five subs, I think. And they were all like, you know, under the age of 19 or something. And I think George Lapsley came in for his first start, I think it was. I could be wrong there. And we started really brightly and got, you know, Taylor got a penalty. And I mean, after that, I mean, we could only make one sub, which was obviously Naby Sarr coming on towards the end. But I mean, I felt sorry for the lads because they actually put on a performance, which, you know, I think we went up there and, you know, thought we were going to get battered, you know, even though the season before didn't work out. You know, obviously, I've just recently finished the Netflix stuff. So, and that first, and when you think of that first goal, you might have been dreaded the worst. But, I mean, you done well, and it's obviously when Magic got their first goal, the equaliser, you obviously were in the ascendancy. But, I mean, yes, I mean, this season, we went through a stage which we was doing where it was ticking over fine, and then we went won like 8 in 10 games or something like that recently, and we only lost on Boxing Day and on Saturday just gone against Barnsley, but before that we had a couple of silly results like the Rochdales away and that sort of stuff. But
yeah,
I mean, Bowie's been doing absolute miracles. I mean, I think we've got about 9 injuries at the moment, so we're struggling to put a midfield together in the last God knows how many weeks. I think Bowie's alluded to it. What we're struggling with at the moment is we're not getting knocks and someone being out for 1 or 2 games. We're getting injuries of 8 to 10 to 12 weeks, but they're to key players. So, I mean, yeah, both. when Josh Cullen got injured against Walsall in November or October. I think quite a lot of us envisaged to go down to sort of 10th, 12th in the league. But, I mean, Bowie's just done an absolutely amazing job and we're still in touching distance going into the window.
When it comes to the way you've played, I think I remember that you didn't have many subs. I think if we remember at the time, you had obviously, you weren't too sure what was happening with the takeover. And I think Lee Bowyer was actually not the official manager at that point, was he?
No, he wasn't. And I mean, there's some rumblings around at the moment about a takeover now, but it's just been gotten going really. But yeah, he's done amazing. You know, it's hard to sort of explain, you know, for someone, to anyone who doesn't really follow Charlton week in, week out, and you know, as in, of how we play, the key positions. I know we've obviously got Grant and Taylor up front, which is great, but that midfield pieces, we just seem to be, you know, we'll get someone back and then someone will be out for 3 months. I mean, you know, we had Vetter Cayley and Josh Cullen both pick up dislocated shoulders in the same game. And they're out for 12 weeks. And it's like, you hardly get one in a season, let alone two in the same game and of the same injury.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the luck we're having at the moment. But, you know, we're not one of those teams to sit there and blame results on it. It is hard. And we're, I mean, yesterday, I've lost track of days. Where are we now? Yesterday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, so we played Walsall. Yeah, so we played Walsall yesterday and had to play, you know, give player left back and a central midfielder who's really young. So I mean, it's just one of those things really that the luck's not really going for us at the moment.
And yet, taken away from all that, you've done really, really well. And I think, again, it's not that surprising for me or probably many Sunderland fans, because obviously Lyle Taylor was really impressive at the start of the season. We wanted him. He's continued to do well. But also your performance at the Stadium Light, which I kind of want to take you back to a little bit, because we're always going to remember that game as how huge and how massive it was, and mainly because of how late the winner was, the way the game went. It really kind of set out our stall for the season. But how was that from a Charlton perspective, i.e. like how you felt about the game, but also what was it like to be part of that game but on the opposite side?
Yeah, I mean, obviously at the time, I mean, on the train up on the Friday, I wasn't really looking forward to it, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And then obviously we get there and then, you embrace the atmosphere and obviously you're up in the gods like you are with the other side down the road up in the gods. But I remember it was really hot. And then, yeah, I remember the first sort of 15 minutes. It surprised me a little bit because I thought we would have been, you know, be in our shells a little bit. But obviously, Bowyer sort of went at them and, you know, we showed a bit of bravery on the ball, which I was very surprised to see. And then obviously we went ahead. I mean, knowing that we weren't going to be able to make any changes because they're all just academy players on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know everyone will say, you know, you've got to give kids a go at some stage. Of course you have. But I think when you're going to the stadium a lot, when there's 30 or 1,000 people and you're shoving someone on at the age of 17, 18 and say, yeah, see this game out for us, it's a bit harsh.
But, yeah.
But no, I think, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I was absolutely gutted when the second one went in. But in hindsight, you know, we probably wasn't expecting to come away with anything, personally. And it was just a night. I think it did for you, it set your stall. I think it made us realise and go, you know what, we haven't got, you know, a massive budget of some teams in this division, but we know that we can compete. And Bowyer always set his team up to give 110% regardless of who's there. And there's been games where we haven't been the best side, but that determination has obviously pulled us through.
And I think without doubt, you're there or thereabouts. I wrote something the other day, which hasn't gone up just yet. It might be up by the time this is released, but it was about the five key games that we have, and I think two of them related towards you. Obviously, the game on Saturday is huge because that's actually technically one of our games in hand, although it's not officially, because I think Portsmouth and Luton are both in the cup.
Yeah.
So we could make up a bit of ground on Luton and Portsmouth on Saturday with a win. But also on top of that, when we play Coventry is the week that you play Luton. So I've got I've got Charlton, Luton, Sunderland, Portsmouth as the four teams going for it. I think we've stood out really, really far. But I think the big thing for me with Charlton, from what I've seen, is you haven't just got one striker that can put the ball in the back of the net. You've got two. How good's Lyle Taylor been?
Lyle's been amazing, in short. Obviously, on the when you first look at it as an outsider, you'll just say, yeah, he scores the goals, which is great. But he's built up play, his physical presence, his intelligence as a football player in this league is absolutely pivotal. And I think Carlin Grant, yeah, he's the rapid one, you know, he's the really quick one and the nippy one.
Yeah.
But Lyle, you know, like on Saturday, yesterday we were under the cosh against Walsall. He'll win, he'll buy free kicks, not by diving like, you know, the other team down the road do in Zaha. But, you know, he'll win the free kicks by being clever, by being a clever forward. And
yeah,
he's very good at it, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. He tracks back, he runs back, he'll run 50 yards and make a sliding tackle. And that's the thing that we've missed in recent years. We've not had that grit. And Bowyer side, you'll have someone like Lyle Taylor in there. So yeah, like you say, you've got two players who are getting, you know, goals, and they are setting up each other as well, which at the beginning of the season, there was a game up at Accrington where both of them were being quite selfish because they were quite, you know, they were still a new partnership, but they seem to be gelling very well now. And, but, you know, we just need to try and help them out in other areas of the pitch.
And I think that, I was talking about League One teams the other day, and it was like, it feels different to the Championship, because in the Championship, the bottom team can beat the top team for now and no one blinks an eye. I think League One has a little bit more structure to it in terms of there's teams at the top do well. And what I've noticed is that the best teams in the league seem to have a centre forward. So do you think that Lyle Taylor's changed your prospects, or has it been more of it's always a team effort, don't get me wrong, but having a centre forward that can put the ball in the back of the net and bring other people into the game, as you kind of alluded to before as well, can make all the difference, can't it?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, last year we had a striker called Josh McGuinness, who's now at Bolton, who, you know, don't get me wrong, tries hard for the team, like you say, works hard, but he's never going to get you 15-20 goals.
Yeah.
You know, he'd barely just go into the 10-11, not, you know, 9-10-11, which isn't any fault of his own. But I also thought, in fairness to Josh McGuinness, when we had Carl Robinson here, you know, he was stubborn and playing one up top, two wingers either side, and it wasn't working. Whereas Bowyer tends to do the 4-4-2 diamond, sometimes the 3-5-2, but having two up front, you usually come across two centre halves in League One, having Taylor and Grant, you give them to think about. And I think, obviously, just going back briefly onto the first game, I think it might have been Ozturk, I think, who's caught out for the penalty. Or was it Leuvens? Can't remember.
It was actually Chris Maguire who gave the penalty away.
Oh, really? Oh yeah, because he came across, didn't he?
He did. But I mean, I think the performance of Ozturk and Leuvens is not really a surprise that they don't get in the team anymore.
Yeah, because I know there was one of them that weren't too. And I think it was his debut, the Ozturk guy.
Yeah.
Then I remember you bought Jack Baldwin, but I don't know if he's been very regularly. But I used to think he was quite good at Peterborough. But yeah, I mean, when you play two up top, you're always going to cause problems. And I think sometimes some defenders don't really know how to handle Lyle Taylor, because he can drop, he can go on the last man, he's powerful, we can play to his back to goal, he'll go in the channel. So he's quite hard to sort of pin down, so to speak. So I think he's the most fouled player definitely most fouled forward in the league, I think it was. I saw a stat the other day. But yeah, he has changed the team. He's changed the dynamic of the team for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he does look... I mean, we saw him opening game of the season. I haven't obviously seen him too much since, but it doesn't really surprise me that he annoyingly has kicked on. It's kind of a part of you that you don't want him to, because he turned us down. But I think, obviously, the boys got... and I think I remember telling you, really weirdly, when he played for Falkirk, I served him at my old job and had no idea who he was.
Oh, really?
Asked him about his accent. Asked him about his accent, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm just up playing for Falkirk. And I was just like, oh, all right, cool, no problem. And then next thing I know, someone will link to him. Little does he know, I know what his skincare routine is, because he used to work with Bath Bombs, so there you go. Random story. He was in with his missus.
I was going to say, he does look after himself, it seems. He seems quite well, quite fresh-faced.
He was severely worried about his acne, if I remember correctly, and I was just really? Mate, you've got none. You're absolutely sound. You're 6'4". You've got a good-looking woman there. You're fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I did manage to sell him a bag of tricks, shall we say, so it was all right in the end from a manager's perspective. But anyway, another story for another day. So Charlton have done really well, and I am actually quite worried about Saturday. I think, I don't know, Charlton are just one of those teams that I've watched and I've thought have been quite handy. I've watched Portsmouth and I understand why they're top. And obviously they beat us, but I thought we were probably the better side until Leuven's got the red card and give the penalty away. Luton, we played very early in the season. But when I have managed to catch Charlton, you have looked quite good. You mentioned about being nervous at the start of the season and thought, well, not nervous, that you didn't feel you were going to get anything from it. Mm. Whereas we're now, 5 months down the line, you're fourth, we're third with two games in hand on second. Are you feeling a little bit more confident about Saturday? Or do you feel like there's more of a... It's a bigger game than the start of the season, isn't it? Because we're both going for it now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a lot more confident than I did at the start of the season, yes, but at the same time, the amount of injuries that we're getting now, it's starting to tell. And I think, I mean, we were 2-0 up within 10 minutes yesterday against Walsall and literally played them off the park. They couldn't get anywhere near us. But then we start, you know, you can't maintain that. And we looked a little bit leggy because we could, because Bo, you can't change it around. You know, he's had to play more or less the same team 4 times in 10 days. And obviously we've got, you know, Jason Pearce is injured now for Saturday, which is a captain, is an absolute massive miss for us. But yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a lot happier than I was. But I wouldn't say I'm still excited. I think I don't know if you've seen the news who we might be getting in before Saturday, which is quite ironic.
I heard there's a couple of signings that are due, but I didn't see who, but I did see Boyeth saying he expects a couple in before the match. Who is that?
Well, one of them is a left back, but there's rumours who it is, but I don't really know if it's right or not. And then there was another guy. There was a midfielder who was in the stands on yesterday, who Bowyer said that he spoke to last week, and it's actually he was Johnny Williams, who was obviously at Sunderland.
Oh, interesting.
So he was at the game yesterday. Whether or not that gets over the line before Saturday, I don't know, but that'll be interesting if it is.
Yeah.
Because obviously, again, watching the net, you know, the Netflix things, he seemed like a nice chap, you know.
Who were Johnny Williams? Yeah, everyone loved him after that. The poor little bastard. because he's, you know, with Johnny Williams, I didn't realize it was Johnny Williams who you were linked to in it. And you know what? Johnny Williams was never that bad for us. He came during a horrific season, but you could see there was something there. But he was just. Every time anybody touched him, he was injured. So if you've got injury problems, I'll be honest with you, if you can keep him fit, brilliant. But if you keep Johnny Williams fit, then I'd be very surprised. But if he does play, that is a little bit of a worry for us because he's better than this standard.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah. But like you say, if he stays fit, but I mean, we've got an injury crisis at the moment. We've got 8 or 9 people out. I mean, just for example, the luck we had, so we had the dislocated shoulders, and then we had George Lapsley, the little blonde one who played the young kid in the middle against you guys. He came on, you know, when we beat Portsmouth at Fratton Park 2-1, you know, he got concussion, so he's out for 7 days. Then he came on against Coventry on Boxing Day, and within 4 minutes, clash of heads, claret all down the face, and he's out for concussion again. So it's like, it's unbelievable the amount of luck we're having at the moment. But yeah, like you say, if you can keep Johnny Williams fit, I think he is a good player this
league.
But this is like he's never really consistently played. And I know his contract's up in June, but I can understand why Palace probably won't want to renew the contract, but they're probably not going to get any mileage out of him. So I think it's a big loan for him if it does come off. He was at the game, you know, it's not signed, sealed, delivered yet, but it's a sign. And then obviously today we've just been, there's little rumours going around, you know, the silly ones that happen. You've got ones of Chooks Anike from MK Dons. So, I mean, listen, I just take them with a pinch of salt, really, because you'll always have some kid in his bedroom makeup room rumours, wouldn't you? But the Johnny Williams one does seem like there has legs in it, because he was at the game and he wouldn't really be coming to Charlton just to watch us, I'm pretty sure.
Not as a Palace player, definitely not.
Exactly.
And the thing is, injuries are affecting you even when they're not your own injuries, because Rubella's goalkeeper got injured and your goalkeeper got sent back, didn't he? So there was another thing that's been affected.
Well, yeah. So obviously Jed played against Barnsley on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday morning, Dean Smith called Bowyer and said, obviously Nyland, he's out for the season, I think, and they're calling Jed back, which... You know, at the end of the day, this is the problem you have with loans. And, I thought Steer did bring something to our team. But we have got, Dylan Phillips, who played in the game against you guys. He's able, but I think, he's improved as a goalie. But like you say, they're just the things that are going against us. And, you know, it's just a bit annoying because Villa have just signed a brand new goalkeeper, which went through yesterday, but it wasn't registered in time to play against QPR yesterday. So it's going to be a bit annoying now if they then just put Steer on the bench for the rest of the season, because it's like, well, surely you could have played someone for one game, but it remains to be seen. But like, exactly, it's those little things at the moment. It's just like, we're not getting just someone with a dead leg. You know, I think we'd be happy with someone to get a dead leg and be out for one game. But at the moment, it's like he's either getting recalled or, you know, next thing I was expecting, when Arsenal were going through a centre-back crisis, I was expecting them to recall Christian Billick. I was like, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. But listen, I mean, it's part of the game, but it's a bit hard to take, because we had a small squad as it was. And obviously, when they start hitting, but we all, you know, everyone knows the issue of where the responsibility of that lies with in terms of the club. But it is what it is, in the famous words of what Bowyer says.
It's funny when you look through the team and the appearances that your players have made. Pretty much the only players that have stayed fit is your right back, Chris Solly, and you've got your two centre forwards. The rest are all 11, 15 games, and we've played, 20, 22, 23, 24? Yeah. There's literally only your centre-forwards and your right-back that have played every game.
That's exactly. And Chris Solly has made the most appearances this season. And, you know, he's had troubles with his knee, but obviously he's kept fit this year. But this is what I mean. We've not really had a settled team. We'll play, like, two games and then someone will be out and then we'll have to reshuffle. And then someone will be suspended and then we'll have to reshuffle. It'd be interesting to see how many games we've had for the same starting lineup. And it's not because Bo, you know, has a well, you know, a depth of players to choose from. It's just that they're in force sometimes. And that's why I think that where we are, it's incredible where we are, because I think, again, I mean, I'm trying to think of the midfield we played against you for the first game. I'd imagine it was Marshall, Lapsley, Prattley, and I'm trying to think.
I remember Prattley played. I do remember Prattley.
Marshall must have been a wing back. So that's what I mean. So because I don't think we had Billick. We definitely didn't have Josh Cullen, because Prattley wouldn't have been playing.
Did Aribo play?
And that was it. Yeah. So yeah, we've just lost Aribo for 6 weeks. He's been absolutely sensational this year.
Just constant injuries then. I mean, but that must be a good thing, because I mean, I tried to do my research before I do these, and I think I don't know why Charlton are just one of those teams that I just know a little bit more about, possibly because I was a 90s kid pretty much growing up.
So yeah.
Charlton are a team I seem to know more about than maybe AFC Wimbledon, for example. But I think you see you as a team that, you know, right up our asses, and we've got to be watching our back with teams like Charlton and stuff like that. And it's so you've got to have that, I suppose, that wonder that if you'd kept a settled, fit team constantly, that you could be pushing Luton, Sunderland, Portsmouth more than you already are, though. That must be quite frustrating.
Oh, yeah, I think that is frustrating. So I think if you look, I mean, most of the injuries have been in the midfield area, which, because Bowyer plays a diamond formation, all of them are really central. We don't really have... you know, many out-and-out wingers apart from maybe like Mark Marshall or even Tariq Fosu would it always cut in. But I mean, the main three you'd have would be Jai Rebo, Josh Cullen, and possibly Ben Reeves and Christian Billick. And obviously, three of those are injured. And then obviously, you go to the ones below that. You've got Lapsley, who's injured. Darren Prattley. And then, yeah, so it's just frustrating that, that's what I mean. Like you say, if we had a settled side, it is ifs and buts, isn't it? But for all we know, we could have had a fully fit squad all year and be 10th, for all we know. Yeah. But it would have been nice just to have a settled side, because when we're on our game, I mean, the game we played against Barnsley at home, it was similar to when we played you. I was nervous. And, you know, we absolutely battered them at home. But, I mean, for me, the best team that we've played so far on the ball is definitely Luton by a country mile.
How did he get on against Luton?
We drew 2-2 last minute at Kenilworth Road.
That's right. And that was only 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, their home record, they scored in every single home game in 2018. I think they did score on New Year's Day. I think they got an equaliser.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I think they did.
So, but they're the same. They have a diamond formation. But again, they have a small squad, but they have had more or less a settled side. And you can see that. And Portsmouth have a settled side, but you can see they have a different way of playing. They're a bit more physical, a bit more direct. But yeah, I think it'd be nice, you know, to see... to have a settled side. And, you know, injuries are part of the game. Listen, you know, don't get me wrong, it does. And I'm not sitting here moping about injuries because everyone has them. It's just they're all in the same blooming position.
Like I said,
you just want someone with a broken finger or something. Do you know what I mean? Instead of having, like a strain, or it's like, oh, here we go. It's every week. So, I mean, I think a couple of them went off injured yesterday. So, I don't know. I just think Bo's just got to try and patch him up. Unless Bo gets ready and puts the shirt on. It's the only thing I can think of. Put him in the middle.
He's probably going to be more fit than Johnny Williams will be if you get Johnny Williams, if I'm honest. I feel bad that I've criticised him.
It'd be funny having a game with blooming Bowie and Catamol in the middle, wouldn't it? Is he still fit, Catamol? Is he still...
Yeah, he's...
Still there in the front of it all?
Didn't play in the opening game of the season, and I think it was pretty much expected that he was going to go, but he didn't, and he had a really good start of the season once he got on the team. He was actually scoring goals, which is quite weird for Lee Catamol, to be honest. And everyone loves Cats, if we're honest with each other. Everyone loves Cats because Cats. He's looked a bit rusty since he came back. That's the thing with Catamol. He seems to... Sometimes he'll hit a bit of form and then he'll get an injury, and his legs seem to get worse. And I'll get shot for saying that because you can't criticise Lee Catmull sometimes, but he has played well. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if him and Max Power is the right midfield. For me, it would be Honeyman deep with Max Power. But I mean, if Katz was just a bit faster, it would be all right.
Just a bit more agile, maybe.
Yeah, he's had a lot of injuries in his 10 years that he's been here, and each injury seems to just make him that little bit slow, and it takes him 4 or 5 games to get back from each injury, and then he seems to get another one, and it's frustrating, but you know what, I love Lee Catamol. How can you not love Lee Catamol?
I know probably a few teams that probably don't.
Yeah, one or two. You love him if you're us, I guess. But he's actually... Oh, come to think of it, I'm talking about Catamol. He's suspended for Saturday.
Oh, that's good then.
He's suspended. He got his 10th yellow card of the season yesterday. So he's out for Charlton and Luton at home. Yeah. Oh, shit. I forgot about that. So it depends if Honeyman's fit, which I don't mind if Honeyman's fit. But we started the season against Charlton with a midfield that's never appeared again for us in the middle.
Did you have McGeoch?
No, we had 16-year-old Barley Mumba.
Oh, that was it, Barley Mumba, yeah.
And Luke Nyan.
Oh, yeah.
And O'Nyan went off at half time. We brought Sinclair on, went 2 up top. Oh, but yeah, O'Nyan, so yeah. O'Nyan has done really well, actually. Never really reappeared for ages. And then he sort of came on as sub and scored a couple of goals, but he's actually filling in at right back for us at the minute, and he's done all right. But in the midfield, if Honeyman's fit, which I don't know if he will be, it'll be Max Power and McGeoch probably actually on Saturday.
Yeah.
McGeoch I'm not the biggest fan of, but I'm prepared to be proven wrong.
You'll have three in front of them too, I assume, and Madjer up top on his own.
I would assume, well, if we go by what we did yesterday, actually, we changed stuff up a little bit yesterday. We had, obviously, in goal, you're going to have McLaughlin. At right back, you'll have 09. You'll have Baldwin and Flanagan at centre-half. Reece James will be at left back, I'd imagine. You'd have McGeoch and Power sitting. Then you'd have McGeady, who's absolutely on fire, and he's just so good at this level.
Yeah.
Alongside, on the right, you'll have Gucci, and they'll be switching over a bit. But we actually played Charlie Wyke up front yesterday. He was at the battering ram, and Madjer kind of dropped into the number 10 role, and it actually really worked. It really worked. Like, Madjer, he just... He saw so much more of the ball because Wyke was just like a battering ram. And
I suppose he can pick the ball up and run at players, then, I suppose, can't he?
Yeah.
I only found out the other day when I was watching your Netflix thing that Josh Madjer is actually from around near Cholton.
Yeah, I think he was at Fulham when he was a kid.
Yeah, he came because where I live, you've got Fulham pick up quite a lot of young players. And so, yeah, I only really, because I was wondering. I wonder if he come through the sort of the Sunderland youth. Then I looked it up. I was like, oh, geez, from blooming Greenwich or wherever he's from.
Yeah.
But Madjer's going to be obviously a threat wherever. But I think there's going to be quite a few goals on Saturday. I really do.
Could be quite interesting the Madjer situation on Saturday because his contract's up in 6 months and.
Oh really.
Gucci's contract was up in 6 months and those were the two players we were trying to tie down and they both had offers and Gucci signed his on New Year's Day. I think it was New Year's Day. Yeah, New Year's Day. So he's tied down for 3 years, which is great. And I think that was kind of expected. Madjer's kind of been sitting on his offer for about 4 or 5 weeks. And just after the Shrewsbury game, Jack Ross was asked about his contract situation of both him and Gucci. And he said, I expect Gucci to sign. We've told Josh Madjer he's got a week to make his mind up. And that week ends Friday before the match on Saturday. But I'm of the opinion of even if he turns down the contract, I don't think we should cash in on him. I think it's more important we get promoted. And if we lose him on a free, we lose him on a free. It is what it is.
Yeah, but I think if you guys get promoted, he'll probably sign for you anyway. I can't see him going to or him getting any game time at a Premiership club. He could possibly go to another Championship club, maybe, but surely he'd probably rather stay. If you guys go up, surely he'd stay with you, wouldn't he? That's what I would do. But
I think it'd be the wrong decision for him to move. He's just turned 20. He's had a good 6 months. He could have another good 6 months and score 30 goals, get promotion, have something on his CV. Then look to do well in the Championship. And in the Championship, there's still not that many clubs in the Championship can pull in 30,000, 35,000. And if we start doing well, as you've seen against Bradford, we'll pull in 40-odd thousand on a weekly basis. That's quite easy to do. And who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, exactly.
I think Cardiff are supposed to be interested in him, but...
You wouldn't go there for long ball, would you?
Like, I mean, Neil Warnock, what is he going to... I mean, you know what? I quite like Neil Warnock, but is he really going to improve him the way Jack Ross would? And I'm not saying Jack Ross is better than Warnock. Warnock's got a far superior record, but I just feel like Neil Warnock wouldn't develop him the same way he's getting developed here right now.
Yeah, to be fair, I think, Madge, you're probably likely to keep him, but I think he's probably thinking, you know, if there is a possibility that you only get the playoffs and then you don't go up, at least he's got an option then of going to the Championship if there's someone knocking about. But I think his end game probably will be hoping that you go up and then he'll stay with you guys, obviously. But, I mean, we don't know, do we? But it'll be interesting, like you say, on Saturday if he's not in the squad.
Sure. I hope come what may, he keeps him at least until the end of the season and then we go from there. But, you mentioned before, obviously, I wanted to... I normally ask, you know, which players you'd look out for and stuff, but I think we've kind of covered that in our own little way. But
yeah.
You mentioned you've been watching the Netflix series. How did that come across to a Charlton fan? Opposite end of the country, probably understand a little bit what we went through. Charlton's had some about. Did you enjoy it?
Do you know what? It was a bit surreal. I mean, so I was just flicking along Netflix as you do anyway. And I saw this Sunderland Till I Die thing, and I was like, oh, what the hell's this? and then anyway, I obviously saw it, and I thought, well, do you know what? It would actually be, because I think if it was like, you know, you it wasn't that you went down from the Premiership and then straight down again. It was in the manner of like you was always down there. So I said, well, I'll give it a watch. I'll give it a couple of like episodes. Obviously, I was watching some of it up onto the train up at on the way up to Barnsley on Saturday and stuff. And do you know what? It was just actually quite. I mean, the first sort of four episodes, it was quite sad, really.
Yeah.
Because it's what I realised is, you know, I mean, everyone, you know, I'm passionate about Charlton and all the Charlton fans love Charlton to bits, blah, blah, blah. But it is very different from support. Well, to me, it comes across as being very different when you're supporting a team like Charlton in London, which, like I say, everyone, I love going to Charlton. I love it to death. But then when you go up to sort of like the likes of Sunderland and sort of Borough and Newcastle, this it's like the central point of the whole city.
Yeah.
And it's like the be all and end all of a Saturday. Whereas I think if you go, so in London, I can come out of a game and we'll lose and I'll be gutted. But then I can go up to like the West End and do all this, that and the other. Whereas when you're in Sunderland and you lose in Sunderland, you're still in Sunderland, then you can't really get away from it. Do you know what I mean? And it really resonated to me that, and watching, you know, they were interviewing the fans all along, and you know, I actually felt really sorry for everyone who was there, and I was like, oh, it must be horrible. And like you say, we've been through some stuff as well, but just watching it was at points it was really uncomfortable to watch, just to think like how, you know, you had the Q&A with Martin Bain. Is it Martin Bain or so?
Yeah, Martin Bain. Yeah.
You know, and to be fair, I don't know the fella, and he seemed a bit, what's the word?
A dick.
He seemed a bit arrogant. Do you know, he come across as that he was caring, but it just seemed like I'm the big man. And, you know, I mean, it didn't really, I don't know, it was weird. And I just felt sorry for everyone.
Great for the cameras, wasn't he? I felt he was great for the cameras. Yeah.
I think he was a good actor. I'm not saying he didn't care. Of course, I'm not saying that. But I just, you know, I felt for everyone. And it was just like, you have that game against, I think, was it Middlesbrough or something? Or were you 3-0 or something?
Oh, it was Derby. We won.
Oh, Derby, that's it. And it was like, it was insane. And then you go up there and then you go down again. And it was just, and then I felt sorry for Coleman. It was interesting watching it about the Lewis Graben situation as well.
That really annoyed me actually, because I quite like Graben. I thought, everyone had a goal, he scored goals, and Coleman decided not to have him. And then when he was laughing about scoring, my immediate thought was, what a prick.
This is the thing, because I mean, when you watch it back, He said that he left because he was getting subbed after 60, 70 minutes. Okay, that's fine. But then when you score against Sunderland, when you know you've been there and you know how much it means to people, to sort of laugh at the fact, I know you can, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't celebrate, but to laugh it off, it was like, well, that seemed there was something a bit like, I'm too good to be in a relegation battle for me.
Yeah.
That's how it struck me.
And same as well.
It put me off a little bit, to be fair, because he's a good player.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, and then obviously fast forward into the end, and then you watch, you know, seeing Honeyman like visibly, you know, upset because he's a fan. And, but yeah, obviously, it would have been interesting if it carried on to this season for sure.
Not for us.
But yeah, as long as you stop right, you're sort of at the first whistle when we play you, then, because obviously.
Yeah.
You can imagine how those fans, how they would have felt as soon as that penalty went in for Charlton. A lot of people would have thinking, here we go again, sort of thing. But, you know, obviously it's nice to see that you're doing well now. Obviously, hopefully not too well if we're still involved in May. But I've got a bad feeling it might be us to win a final again, I think. I've got a really bad feeling.
Don't say that. Please.
But what we'll do is we'll just get Clive Mendonca out of the factory in this end, and he'll come and play for us again.
Oh no! I just remembering that, I was 12. No.
Yeah, I was 11.
I was 11 because I was born in September 86 and it was 98. So I would have been just before I was 12. And I was in Thailand. We got beat 4-0 off Reading away from home. And my dad said, I booked a holiday away to Thailand because I want to take the family away. The season's finished by that point. We're not going to get promoted. We're not going to get near the playoffs. We were about 17th or something at this point. Mm. And then we just went on this unreal run where just no one could touch us. And it was just the best times. And we ended up getting to the playoff final. And my dad was contemplating just like not bothering going to the Thailand, knocking off the holiday. And eventually we decided just to do it. And we're, oh, you know, we'll just go. And we watched it. And it was, I think the kickoff would have been about 10 o'clock at night or something.
Yeah.
And so by the time the game finished, it was like 2 or 3 in Thailand. I was 11. And I had my full strip on, and I still remember the moment that Mickey Gray missed it. And they're just, I don't think I've ever been so sad and drained and awful. I would never be able to handle anything like that again. Never, ever.
If it was against us again, wouldn't it?
Imagine. Oh, never. Sasa Ilić. Sasa Ilić. Even when Chris Makin took his penalty and Sasa Ilić almost saved it and like tapped it into the bottom corner and just, oh no, no, never again, never again. No, we'll just have the automatic promotion. It'll be fine. It'll be okay.
Well, I think it'll only be Luton who drop off, but they are a very, very good footballing side.
Luton Schmooten.
But yeah, I think like you said, I think that game, I think even if you lose to us on Saturday, I think with the two games in hand, you know, and you've still got Luton to play at home, is it at home or at Kenilworth?
At home. We've got Luton at home.
I still think you're obviously in the driving seat. But, yeah, I think the automatics is between you three. I think Barnsley are a very good team in the playoffs as well. And they might actually put pressure. I think Barnsley might put more pressure on you than we will. Obviously, I hope that we don't. I hope we do, rather. But Barnsley are a good little team as well. So,
yeah,
and Doncaster are flying up now as well.
They were impressive at the stadium. We went 3-0 up in like half an hour, scored 3 goals in 10 minutes, but Barnsley pulled two back. And I would say Charlton and Barnsley have been the best teams we've had at the stadium this season. Obviously, we're having at Portsmouth and Luton, so I guess you kind of expect it, but it was definitely a difference. But I suppose then, just to kind of finish off, I can't remember what your prediction was at the start of the season. I'm sure you said we'd win. But
I think so. I might have actually said 3-1 or something.
You were close.
Mm.
What do you think for this Saturday?
I'm going to go for a Desmond.
2-2.
Mm. I think there's goals. I think we're missing our captain. I don't know. I think your midfield might have the edge on us, I think, a little bit. But I think we'll give as good as we get. I don't see us winning, but I don't really see us, because we always step up for these games. It's the games against like the Rochdales and the Coventries that we don't turn up for. I think we'll get a solid point, so I'm going to go for a 2-2.
I think this is a first, but I think I'm going to agree with you. I think I'll go 2-2 as well, and I take 2-2. Just don't get beat.
Yeah. We'll have a word with Jack Ross and Lee Bowie, just saying, let's call it 2-2.
let's just call it 2-2, and if you can let Nathan and Graham know so they can put a lot of money on it.
But I think both managers, I mean, Bo won't go out to draw a game at home. No way. He'll probably go out to win it.
Same with Jack.
I think Jack will as well. I think, you know, it's more like you say, it's more or less not a free punt, but you've still got two games in hand, really. Who are those two games in hand against again?
Blackpool at home and Accrington Stanley away.
See, yeah. So they are winnable games.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't think either team are going to get better. It's not going to be like a 3-0 or anything. I think that's why I think there'll be a lot of goals. I think it'll be quite a fast game. And I think it'll be quite a good game.
Cue the 0-0. And that two defensive teams frightened of getting beat for the once in the entire season. Yeah. But thanks for coming on again, Nathan. It's actually been good catching up based on, again, how many things have changed in 5 months of football. But I do hope you have a really bad Saturday. I would fucking hate if we end up playing you in the playoff final. That would be my worst nightmare, because I just No, fuck that. Not a chance. But, do enjoy the season as best as you can, as long as it doesn't affect ours. But thanks very much for coming on again, mate. And hopefully you'll enjoy season two of Sunderland Till I Die, which apparently is happening.
Oh, really?
Apparently so.
This season?
I don't know, actually, but there was a trailer for it somewhere. And it does look quite good, but hopefully it doesn't end in a bloody playoff final against Charlton.
I was going to say, was you on that? So I know that the Roker Report was on the actual one of the episodes, but I can't remember.
Season 8.
Yeah.
Because we got the first interview with Stuart Donald, but that was Connor who got it. I'm not sure why, because I'm considerably better looking. But, you know,
I
nonetheless.
You had a face for radio, anyway.
Well, apparently so, but Connor has more of a face for radio show. Didn't have to design a stubble like me and Martin Bain do, you see. But
oh, right, nice.
But enjoy it, as long as it doesn't happen to be a player final against Charlton where you bloody win. Because, like I say, I'm not, you've put the shits up me. No, you can tell. But thanks for coming on, mate. And
no
look
worries.
After yourself, all right? Happy New Year.
You too, pal. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bud. Bye-bye. So that was the end of whatever number episode it was. I have no idea. But yeah, it was nice to have Nathan back on. I actually really enjoyed speaking to Nathan at the start of the season. And we've sort of stayed in touch. You know, we don't speak every day, don't get me wrong, but we've stayed in touch over the season. Obviously, I still follow him on Twitter and whatnot. He's a really, really good lad. Really, really good lad. Really, really good knowledge of football and a good laugh. Actually, someone I have a lot of respect for when it comes to stuff. And I really wanted to make sure that when we played Charlton, it was him that I got on again. Sometimes I'll try and look for someone that we haven't had on in the past. But I really, really enjoy chatting to Nathan. I think he's got a really good knowledge. And if you wanted to follow him on Twitter, which I'd recommend, like I say, he knows his stuff. It's at underscore NAM11. NAM is in NAM. I'm trying to think of the phonetic alphabet, but I can't think of it. Doesn't matter. But yeah, enjoy Saturday. Yesterday was great. Win is a win is a win, but it's nice when you've got the best part of like what 8,000 of us almost. Have a good new year. I think I might have mentioned for you to have a good new year last time we spoke. Thanks for listening to it as always. I hope you enjoyed it. Anything I can improve on, you know, let me know. I try to take on the constructive criticism as best as I can. And you might have noticed I've tried my very best not to say the word mate as best as possible, but now and again it's sneaked in ever so slightly. So do forgive me for that. I'll try my best not to do it too much next time. Enjoy Saturday. Enjoy hopefully another 3 points or one, you know, take one if I'm honest. And let's keep onwards and upwards. And hopefully by the next time I spoke to you, Josh Madge signed a 25-year contract. Brilliant. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.